You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Pastor, I was new about 7 weeks ago. I feel now I'm kind of new-ish. But if I haven't met you yet, please stop and say hi in the lobby afterwards. Just grab me, say your name. Just don't assume that I know. Save me from looking silly, trying to guess, because there's a lot of you and one of us. And my wife, Risa, and our 16-month son, Judah, we're so excited to be here and be a part of this phenomenal church. I don't think she's here right now, but last service I kind of embarrassed Carly, just because I wanted to quickly highlight what God is doing through a student at Gateway and to see her passion for seeing backpacks in the hands of foster kids in this county. And just what a phenomenal vision to see 135. And this is a student in our ministry that is saying, and this is a vision that I have. And so I just want to say thank you as a church for standing behind our student ministry and helping the dreams and the callings that our students have come to life. So I really appreciate that. She's a phenomenal gal. Just hearing her heart when she prays, you see, man, there's a special touch on her life. So I just wanted to encourage her. She's not here, probably because she knew I was going to do that. So she left. You may notice the format is a little different this morning. We're going to do more worship at the end, but just kind of in response to the series that we're in, the Way of Wisdom series, which we're going to continue today. We wanted to mix things up a little bit, get us out of our comfort zone. But before I get too far into that, I just want to take a second and just share a bit about what God did a couple weeks ago at Coram Deo. Last week, I kind of gave you an appetizer, just a little kind of hint of what we saw happen. But this week, I've got stories of some of our students and leaders of what God did specifically in their life. So I want you to take a peek here, some things that happened at Coram Deo.
Hi, I'm Aaron. This was my third Coram.
My name's Chloe, and this was my second Coram.
Hi, I'm Gene Gillick. I've been to Coram about 7 times now.
Hi, my name's Jolie, and this is how God freed me from loneliness.
My name is Natalie Forney. This was my second year at Coram.
There was something I had not given up to God. I thought I had. And through that, he just showed me. He showed me that when you give something up to God, he doesn't just make it better. He empowers you through it. He makes you so much stronger. And that when you go to God, he doesn't just see your weakness, he doesn't just see your faults, but he sees the perfection in you. He sees all the good things he has for you.
I find my friend, and she's breaking down crying. She has many issues, and I go up and pray for her. I have no idea what to say. So I'm like, okay, God, tell me what to do. And then I pray for 15 minutes, 30 minutes. I don't even remember how long. So I'm walking up, and I don't know what to say, and then I just start praying. And I've never prayed that long before. So I thought, whoa, this is kind of amazing. So we were at cabins and we were all praying over each other and I'm just praying for everyone. And it made me really feel special when someone would walk up and say, thanks, I needed that.
But one of the things that we talked about during worship was just raising your hands in surrender to God. And what kept coming to my mind was just the word daddy, daddy. Because it's more than just saying, hey, I give up. And I had thought about little Judah running around camp. And when he sees Mark, he's not raising his hand saying, hey, I give up. He's putting his hands up saying, daddy, pick me up. Pick me up. Because that's how God looks at us. He's saying, I'm here for you. And in Hebrews, you know, it says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, you know, to obtain mercy and receive grace in our time of need. So it's especially during those times that we don't feel like we deserve it, those times that we feel like, you know, I've screwed up again. You know, God's saying, just come to me and raise your hands. And it's not just surrender, it's saying, daddy, he's here for you.
Finally, she said, like, you need to, like, literally, verbally give this to God because you've been asking him to take it and why hasn't he been taking it? But you just need to tell him to take it and, like, just give it to him, basically. And so she's like, I don't care how long this takes for you to get the boldness to say it out loud because we have all night to do it. So eventually I did tell it to leave and I gave it to God. And with that, like, as soon as I said that, I almost collapsed in her arms and just let out this huge sigh. And we took communion together and like through the entire week and to this day, like I feel so much lighter, and like just all the baggage, all the bondages, like everything is just gone.
He revealed to me how much he loves us and how much he can reveal that love through me. And it is like the best feeling ever. And he also revealed to me how much I was distracted in my own life, and how much I just was looking in other places when I was trying to look for happiness. And through praying with other people, he just slowly lifted off that distraction and that burden, and he made me a happier person and a freer person. And I'm just so much happier and hungry for more.
And that's just how campus changed me.
He helped me help other people realize that they're worth more than they think they are, and that Jesus loves them a lot, and he's always got them. So that's my story.
It's Isaiah 43:4. You are of great worth in my eyes. You are honored, and I love you. So that was my experience.
That just gives you a snippet of what we saw God do at camp. And our theme, as I kind of shared last week, was unleash. And we saw God unleash so many spiritual bondages on students' and leaders' lives, and in turn, unleash his power through them. It was just a phenomenal week. And I just want to say thank you, because it wouldn't have happened without your prayers, without your support. For many of you that volunteered, I know there's some of you that are here. Thank you so much for believing in our students. And believe me, it all goes to see God's kingdom move forward. But if I were to have shared on the video, the thing that really hit me was just seeing how our students responded in the midst of a storm. And we literally had a storm. I've got a picture here. This was my drive. My wife and I were driving back. We were out doing one of the activities in the afternoon, and we get a call that says there is a monsoon blowing through camp. And I don't know if you know anything about tent camping, but monsoons and tent camping are not a good mix. Tents are blown everywhere. Everything is wet. And so we're running back, and in that wall, you see that wall of rain in the distance? That is literally where our campground was. And so, I mean, just getting annihilated with rain. And so we come back, and everybody's stuff is wet. All of us, I mean, there wasn't a single person that didn't have something that got wet. And so the students come back, and we're trying to pick up the pieces, and we put everything in this picnic pavilion. It really looked like a Red Cross, you know, kind of come and you know, kind of put your life together type zone. And so all the students' stuff is just strewn about in this picnic pavilion. And, I mean, there's sleeping bags, there's clothes, there's just stuff everywhere, and they're trying to dry it. It's raining outside. And you would just think, man, what a perfect recipe for people to really get disengaged from what God is trying to do. Right? Just a perfect environment to throw in the towel and say, you know what? This stinks. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I'm wet. I'm cold. I can't go outside because it's raining. I'm stuck. It's no fun. But here's the most amazing thing is that night we were able to do pre-service prayer, partly because they had nowhere else to go. But we had all the students in this pavilion, and we did pre-service prayer, and they entered in. They just entered right into pre-service prayer. Then during worship, instead of it being like this, you know, kind of like, oh man, we had to throw all their stuff in a corner, so their stuff is getting moldy. But here they are, arms raised in worship. And at the end of the message, we call for response, and they flood the front. And just really what captured me was to see how they responded with praise in the midst of a literal storm. How they decided not to let the circumstances around them stop what God was trying to do in their lives. And this theme, this idea is really going to fit well into book 2 of Psalms, which we're going to look at today. Last week, Tom began this series, or continued this series, The Way of Wisdom, by looking at the book of Psalms. And he tackled specifically book number 1, and the passage he used was Psalms 1:1-6. And throughout this part of the series, we're asking 3 questions to help us understand this psalm and what it means for our life. There's this pattern that we're walking through. The first thing is this. What does this psalm say about God? What do we learn about God from this psalm? And what we learned last week is God is active in our lives, watching over us and protecting us. The next question we ask is this: what does this psalm say about life? And we learn three things. We live in a world filled with wicked, unrighteous people. We are presented with choices, and sometimes those choices come daily, hourly, or even by the minute. And also, we live in a world that continually tries to squeeze us into its mold. And then the third question we ask is, what does this psalm say about living? And the three things we hit were, do not follow, do not stand, and do not join in the way of the wicked. Well, this week we're going to move on to book two, and it contains 31 psalms. And by no means am I going to try to hit 31 psalms this morning, because it'd be this evening by the time we're done. So we're going to really highlight, but this book number two has 31 psalms, and like every other book, it concludes with a doxology, which we're going to read together at the end of our gathering this morning. But here's what the doxology is in Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Here's what it says. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his name forever. To look deeper at this theme, I want to look at Psalm 42. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 42. And I'll have it on the screen. It's also on YouVersion if you want to hop in there. There should be the notes for the message this morning. Many of you are going to recognize this psalm right away because it starts with something that is actually a very familiar song that we sing. But here's what it says. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. I love how that begins. As the deer longs for streams of water. This is how this author chose to describe the longing that he had. And maybe your translation would look a little different. I know mine would. Mine would read this: as I long for a Mountain Dew on a hot summer day. That would describe that longing for me. Maybe for you it'd be this: as I long for a triple shot Venti Starbucks on a Monday morning. Is that anybody? And maybe those of you that are sports fans, maybe some Mariners fans. As the Mariners long for a winning season. They've had a rough weekend. I don't know if you saw that. But the picture here is of a longing. And not just any longing, but this is an intense longing and a desire for the presence of God, the active, living God. And my hope is that we all echo that desire, that that's our heart's cry. God, I want more of you. And my hope is that as we walk through this gathering today, we will experience his presence. But why this longing? Why does this author have such an intense hunger and thirst for the presence and power of God? Well, let me give you some context here. The author of this psalm, if you read at the top in your Bibles there, it should have the author. It says, sons of Korah. And just a little history on the sons of Korah. They're actually a part of the tribe of Levi, which we know Levites were temple workers, right? They're the ones that took on the different duties of the temple. And the sons of Korah specifically were worshipers. They were musicians. They were the ones who covered that part of the temple, the worship ministry. They were assisting in that. And so this author, this writer would have been daily in the presence of God, would have daily spent time in the temple leading others in worship and pointing them to God. And yet what we see here, what he reveals to us, what he lets us in on is that through trial or circumstance, he has been exiled from Jerusalem. He's been removed from Jerusalem and therefore removed from the temple, from the presence of God as they knew it at that time. So instead of streams of living water in his life, he's left with tears to quench his thirst. and memories of who he once was and what he saw God do. And I believe this author is in a place of spiritual drought or spiritual isolation. And my question for us is, how have you come into this place this morning? Let's just take a second. How have you walked in to this auditorium, this gathering this morning? Would you say your relationship with God is thriving, that it's alive, that you experience his presence on a regular basis? Or maybe you feel like you're kind of in that season of drought, that season of spiritual isolation, whether through circumstances in your control or out of your control, things you're facing. You feel like you've been removed, or God's presence seems far off, and all you're left is the jeers of the enemy of, where is your God? You feel like you're in that place where your prayers bounce off the ceiling, where your faith isn't necessarily a walk, it's more like an uphill climb. Things don't come easy. And you just think, why am I in this place? What's happening? And the real question for us is not if we will face these kinds of seasons in our life, but when we face them, how do we respond? How do we respond when we face those seasons of spiritual drought? How do we walk through that season of life? And I really like how this author chooses to respond. So he's in this place of spiritual drought, spiritual isolation. Here's what it says in verse 5. Here was his response. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my God and my Savior. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? He questions. He says, listen, I will hope. I will praise again. And I think it's easy for us sometimes in those places where our faith doesn't come easy, where life is tough, for us to kind of have that victim mentality and to grow weary or grow frustrated with God. And our praise it becomes absent because we just feel like we have nothing to give, we have nothing to offer. But that's not what we see this author choosing. Even in a place of drought and brokenness, this author chooses to hope. Chooses to praise. And I really see this psalm as an encouragement. My hope is that you're encouraged this morning as we walk through this. And as you continue, if you were to look at the rest of the psalm, it really is just a repeat of what we just see. Verses 6 through 10, there's this intense struggle, there's this frustration, there's this sense of isolation. But he finishes this psalm in verse 11 with that same refrain. I will praise again. I will hope. I will praise again. And I think as we look even through the book of Psalms as a whole, we see this pattern, right? We see this concept where, you know, these writers face different things. They face these different struggles or situations. And although the circumstances mount, they choose in response to praise God. I just love this concept, this idea of what will we do when we face these things. And I want us to look at that. And I want us to now answer these questions and say, what is the psalm saying for our lives? What is this saying about how we should respond to storms, to isolation or drought when it comes into our life? So we'll start with this. What does this psalm say about God? What does it say about God, his character, and his ways? Well, here's what it says. That God isn't afraid of our questions and consents. God isn't afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our consents when we come to him with our frustrations, the things we're going through. Here's what it says in verse 9. It says, oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? And if I'm being honest with you, I would have a hard time praying that way. I'd be a little nervous if I were to come to God that way, with that kind of raw honesty. I would imagine, was anybody woken up Friday night by thunder and lightning? I thought Jesus was coming back. I thought, man, here we go, Lord, I'm ready. But I would think that would happen if I decide to come to God that way, if I questioned God like that, that, you know, maybe that lightning and thunder would be coming for me. You know, that God would not respond kindly if I were to question him that way. But God wants to have your heart, all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, all of them, not just the easy ones, not just the ones that maybe, you know, aren't so heavy. But he says, no, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. God isn't turned off by our heartfelt frustrations. He isn't offended by our questions. He longs for us to cast our cares on Him. So what does this psalm say about life? See what it says about God, and it says many things about God, but what does this psalm say about life? Number one, it says this, there will be seasons. There will be seasons that we face in life. In verse 4, this author talks about how his heart is breaking as he remembers how it used to be. You ever been in that place where you think back, I remember when my relationship with God used to be like this, or used to be like that. I really felt close to God in this situation or this period of my life. And it's easy for us to try to face backwards as we try to walk forward, which is not a good thing to try to do, okay? I don't recommend that, trying to walk backwards, forwards. It's not good. But this author's remembering how he used to lead people in worship, how he used to be in this place where he was in the presence of God. He's wrestling with leaving the season of growth and entering a season of drought. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said this in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And he goes on to list a lot of different things, and I could read it, but it's kind of depressing. So we'll just kind of, you can look at that later. But he talks about all sorts of different things. That there's, you know, there's seasons for harvest, there's seasons for joy, but there's also seasons of drought. There's seasons of struggle that we're going to face in life. There's going to be seasons where our faith comes easy. But there's also going to be seasons where our faith is a struggle. And we hang on to God because everything else seems to fall apart around us. There's going to be seasons in life. And that really leads to the second thing I wanted to share. What does it say about life? We cannot base our faith off feelings. Our faith in Jesus cannot be based on how we feel. Author says in verse 5, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Then he begins to say, I will hope. I will praise again. The author is choosing to worship, choosing to praise, not based on feeling, but based on faith. And if we think about it, where would we be in life if all of our decisions were based on feelings? Think about that. Think of your core relationships, your marriage, the close friendships that you have. What if those things were to be based on feelings? Be rough. Be junior high all over again, right? We can't base those things on feelings. What if God's love were based on feelings? Yikes. What if one day he just decides that he doesn't feel like loving me anymore? I know I would, knowing me, knowing you, right? There's times that God, why do you love me? Why do you love me? And if his love for us were based on feeling, we'd be in trouble. We cannot base our faith on feelings. And the third thing is this. The enemy doesn't fight fair. That's hard, but it's true. The enemy doesn't fight fair. We see with this author in verse 3, right? As he's in this place where he says, day and night, I have only tears for food. And it's in that place, that darkest moment, the enemy chooses to taunt with, where is this God of yours? Chooses his darkest moment. He didn't choose the temple, didn't choose a worship service, didn't choose these times where this author was in a place where he was growing in his faith, where his faith was real, where things seemed like they came easy. He chose a moment of isolation. Chose a weak moment for this author. Unfortunately, the enemy doesn't choose the times we are prepared to attack. He's not going to wait until you're ready to attack you. He looks for the moments of weakness and our areas of vulnerability. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy doesn't fight fair. So what does this psalm say about living? This is really what I want to get to this morning. This is my whole message in a nutshell right here. What does this say about living? How should I respond? Is this, sometimes praise is a willful declaration in the midst of despair. Sometimes praise is a willful declaration in the midst of despair. I can remember as a young man, as a child, and maybe, you know, we sang a certain song in church, and maybe you weren't a child when you sang this, but I was. And it was this. This is how the song went. We bring a sacrifice of praise. Have you ever thought about that idea, a sacrifice of praise? Like, why would praise be a sacrifice? Isn't that like a joyful thing? Isn't that something there's joy, there's this excitement, there's a sense of, wow, this awe in God of praise? Well, I don't think there always is. There's going to be times where we don't feel like it. There's going to be times where circumstances, we wonder. And we have to choose to say, you know what? I may not feel like it. It may not be easy. But I will make a declaration of praise. I will choose to praise. And if you really think about it, I think that's when our praise really is the purest, is the most true. It's not when things are easy. It's not when we feel close to God. It's not when faith is a walk, not an uphill battle. But I think it really is those moments where we have to choose. Say, God, I don't feel like it, God. I don't necessarily see it, but God, I choose to praise you. Isn't that when it's the truest, when it's not based on how I feel? When it moves beyond where I'm at and says, God, it's about you. And here's what I think is really cool about that. I think when we choose to do that, it may not change the situation around us, but man, something sure happens in me. It may not change a thing about what I'm facing, the circumstances that are around me, the consequences of things that I've done. But I think something changes in me. My faith is raised. As my eyes, the arrows of my heart turn away from me and now are pointed at God, suddenly it's about his goodness. Suddenly it's about who he is and not who I am. And my faith is raised. And his peace begins to come in and cover us. And his joy and all these things that he has for our lives begin to happen as we choose to focus on him, even in the midst of struggle. And I want to close with this because I think it's such a cool picture. The author chooses a really unique Hebrew word for talking about this phrase, I will praise. And I just, as I was digging into it, I thought, man, this is really awesome. This is really cool because I don't think this author was at all, you know, unintentional. I don't think it was coincidence he chose the word that he chose to describe praise. I will praise. It's this word, yada. And here's what that word means in Hebrew. It's a verb with a root meaning to throw or the extended hand. To throw or the extended hand. Yada does not depict a quiet, reflective kind of praise. It's a complete surrender, throwing my hands in the air, believing God is the only one who can answer kind of praise. It's this praise that moves beyond feeling and moves to this place where say, God, I surrender to you. God, I choose to throw my hands. God, even in the midst of what I'm facing, God, I'm discouraged, I'm sad, but God, I will choose to hope. God, I will choose to praise. And it's not going to be just a contemplative kind of like, I guess I'll praise. Whatever, you know, I'll sing. But it's saying, no, I'm proclaiming this. This is my declaration. God, I will praise you again. Even when I don't feel like it, even though it may not change anything around me, God, I will praise you again. Again, I don't know how you've come into this place today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you've walked through this past week. I don't know what you're wrestling through. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what you're feeling, what the enemy has thrown at you. But can we choose today to say, I will praise again. God, I will bring a sacrifice of praise. Even if it needs to be that, God, I will bring a sacrifice of praise. And that may be a step of faith for you today. Because like I said, you don't feel like it. You don't feel like God's there. You feel like no matter what you've done, that it just seems like you're hitting the brick wall. But you know there's a step of faith in that. It's saying, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm going through. Maybe you're in this place and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe the things that have gone on your life around you, the struggles, have drowned out your faith. And this morning you say, God, even in the midst of this, I recognize who you are in my life. And God, I will choose to praise you. I want to do something this morning, and this may be a step of faith for you, but I'd like us to stand. And as we go back into worship, I'm going to pray, and I'd like us just to lift our hands and just this yada worship, this praise of God. I will praise you, God. I declare my praise to you. So would you lift your hands as we pray? Lord, I thank you this morning, God, that you are good. Lord, in the midst of whatever we're going through today, God, however we walked in, God, the season that we're facing, God, I pray right now we would choose to praise. God, our choice, God, our declaration would be praise, God, even in the midst of despair, because, God, we know who you are in our lives, and, God, we believe and have faith, Lord, that you, it may not change what's around me, but, God, it will certainly change something in me. God, would you point our hearts at you? Would you raise our faith, God, right now to begin to praise you no matter what we're facing? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. I just want to pray for something specifically this morning that God's put on my heart. I just feel like there are people in this room that season of spiritual drought is not just been a short Seattle summer season, but it's been a long season. And you're discouraged. And in fact, as I was doing some study, many think this author was actually dealing with some depression as he wrote this song. And maybe for you, that's something you've been dealing with, is depression. And you just feel like you're in this place that it's this endless hole that you can't get out of. And you've almost come to this place where you just want to quit because it just doesn't seem like there's a way out. And I truly believe this morning that as we choose to praise, the sacrifice of praise, I believe God is going to begin to set you free. That a new season is going to begin in your life. He's going to restore you. And you're going to sense his love like you never have before. Let me pray. God, I pray right now, Lord, for every person in this room, God. Lord, I pray specifically, God, for those, Lord, that this season, God, of isolation, of drought, Lord, has been long, God. It's been too long. And God, maybe they're in a place even of depression, God, this morning. God, they feel hopeless. They feel like they're stuck in a hole and there's no way out. But Jesus, I know you said you came not for those that are healthy, but those that are in need, God. You came for those that didn't think they were good enough, but God, those that knew they needed a Savior, God. And I pray this morning, God, for those that need saving right now, God. They're in that pit, God. They're in that place where they just feel like there's no way out. And God, their faith is taking a hit, Lord, where they just have a hard time, God, even putting it forward this morning because, God, they just know what's going to happen. God, they already know what the result's going to be. I pray right now, Lord, would you raise their faith? God, as they begin to make that choice to praise, that willful declaration of I will praise again, Lord, that those chains would begin to fall off. God, that depression would begin to leave. God, that you would replace, God, their mourning, God, for joy. Lord, their sorrow, God, for a new hope that's in you. God, a new season would begin today. God, we declare it in your name because, God, we know you are a God that answers prayer. And, God, you are a God that will respond to us when we seek you with all of our heart. And so, God, I believe now, Lord, you're beginning that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
You're the one who walked on water and calmed the raging sea. You command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners and opens blinded eyes. You restore the brokenhearted and you brought the dead alive. Forgetting all our sins, remember all your promises. You are amazing. You are amazing.
spoken and set the captive free. You're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. And your mercy, you became the way for us, forgetting all our sins. You remember all your promises. You are amazing, you are amazing, more than
God, you are amazing. I want to close with having us read the doxology from book 2 together, just a declaration again of praise. It's going to be on the screen here. Let's read this together. It's coming, I promise. Is that there? There it is. All right, let's read this together. It's one of those mornings, I guess. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, that you are amazing. God, that your glory fills the earth. God, there's nowhere we can go, as it says in Psalm 39, God, where we can outrun your presence. God, the highest heights, the lowest steps. Lord, you are there. Even the darkness cannot hide you, because even in the darkness, it's light with you. God, I pray we would make the choice to praise. We would declare, I will praise. And God, as we do that, would you begin to change something in us? God, raise our faith. Put our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, this Friday night, we have the Sanctus Real concert at 7. We have a few tickets left. You can get those online. Have a great week, and remember, choose this week to praise.
find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.